Cool. Tom, is my mic on? That's a very good start. And my slides are up. Fantastic. So today is Remembrance Sunday, as you all know. And today is a day we can be so thankful for all of those people that were willing to put themselves in incredibly dangerous situations. So I thought it was appropriate to look at how to survive extreme danger. So, as you know from the reading, and as we've already been told, we're looking at the story of Jesus calming the storm. And that storm, the Bible tells us, came suddenly, and it came out of nowhere. Now, I've played for a few football teams over the years, and I've been privileged enough to play in lots of different locations. But by far, the coolest location I've ever played football is in Austria. Austria is an absolutely beautiful country. And those of you that have been to like mountainous regions will know how pretty mountains are. But the thing about the land in Austria, it's so mountainous that there's not much flat land. So the football pitches are always in valleys, which is amazing because, as you can see from this picture, you get to play at the foot of mountains, which is stunning. But the problem with that is the weather is very changeable. So for those of you that like geographical phenomena, you will know that when the wind hits mountains, it forces the air up, which causes rain. But also valleys are natural wind traps. So when the wind blows through the valley, it can get very strong, which means the weather can change like that. So you can start a football game in beautiful sunshine, but then you would see the black clouds come over the mountains, and all of a sudden you're playing football in the craziest of storms. Now, coming from England, that isn't actually that big a deal, and that's just standard weather. But it is quite crazy how you can go from perfectly calm to it all kicking off. And the storms of our life are exactly the same. One day, everything can be great, and then the next day, something that can happen that will turn your world upside down. So we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for sudden danger. Now, fortunately, in this story, we have the perfect example of Jesus to follow in these situations. So, how do you survive extreme danger? First up, play it cool. Now, you're cool because of the clothes that you wear and the way you act and the things that you say. Now, sadly for me, I care a bit too much about the first one because I really like clothes and it's by far the least important of the three. But I do like clothes and I actually collect coats. And I don't just collect any old coat. I like coats with special features. So I've got my best one here to show you today. So this is a CP Company goggle jacket. And I will try my best to put it on without knocking my mic off to keep Tom happy at the back. So this coat is inspired by original motorsport. So in early motorsport, they didn't used to wear helmets because there was like people didn't know anything about safety back then, apparently. So what they would do is they put on a jacket like this, and then they'd put their hood up, and then so that they could see what they were doing, they would flick the goggles down to stop things getting in their eyes. That's why it's called a goggle jacket. And the next special feature of it is it has a watch viewer, so you can be driving the car and you don't have to take your watch off the your hand off the steering wheel. You can just see your watch through the watch viewer, so you know what time it is. Why you'd want to know what time it is during an important race, I don't really know. And also, it's made of nice material and I like the colour, but this is a cool jacket. But it's brought me on nicely to motorsport. So motorsport gives us a really cool saying, which is, cool heads will prevail. Now, when I first heard that saying, I thought that saying was just to do with like temperature, because when you're under pressure and you're in a bit of trouble, you naturally get hot and bothered and then you're more likely to make a brash decision or a bad choice. So I thought that's where that saying comes from, and it doesn't. It actually comes from motorsport originally, because these old-timey cars, if the cylinder heads overheated, your car would break down and you wouldn't finish the race. Whereas it's the cars with the cool cylinder heads that won the race. Therefore, cool heads will prevail. And I think that saying is so good, and it applies so perfectly to this story today and the example of Jesus. Verse 26 tells us, he replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Jesus is not flustered by this storm at all, and he just calmly explains to the disciples that there's nothing to worry about. Imagine how bad it would have been if they'd woken Jesus up and he had gone, "Oh no, look at this massive storm. Quick, grab a bucket, get bailing." No, he's not fazed by it at all. And what he does is he stays calm and he brings up their faith, which I think is really important. He reminds them who their faith is in, focusing them on God. And the other thing he says is, "Why are you so afraid?" Jesus knows who's in control. Jesus knows there's nothing to worry about because he is focused on God and he stays calm. So how do you survive extreme danger? Number one, play it cool. Next up, rest up. Look at what Jesus is doing when the storm is kicking off. Verse 24, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. This sounds unbelievable. This storm was so big and so strong. It was scaring experienced sailors and experienced fishermen, but Jesus was fast asleep. This almost doesn't seem possible. It seems borderline complacent. So how does Jesus manage this? Well, Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Being able to sleep in a storm is only possible if you see the bigger picture and know who's in control. Jesus knew that there was nothing to be afraid of because he was in control of the situation. He is more powerful than that storm. Therefore, there was nothing to worry about, which means he can just rest up. But this is such a hard thing to follow the example of. When I've got stresses in my life, that's when I have sleepless nights. I've had many a sleepless night where I'm worried, I feel like I'm in trouble, and you just can't nod off at 1 o'clock in the morning, at 2 o'clock in the morning. Your bed is the most uncomfortable place to be. You just cannot fall asleep. But then at 7 o'clock in the morning, when you've got to wake up, your bed's the most comfortable place in the world and you don't want to get up. Well, what's going on there? Well, the problem is it's not your bed that's uncomfortable. It's the stuff on your mind. And it's all the worries and the weights and the danger that you feel that you're in. So how do you conquer that? By being still and knowing who is God. Jesus knew that. Now, I mentioned that it seems a bit complacent that when your friends are fearing for their lives, Jesus was asleep. Now, was Jesus doing the right thing in this situation? I would like to argue that he definitely was, because he was setting the example of how calm you can be in trouble. And also, sleep is so important. So for those of you that know me, I'm married to a very, very good marathon runner. And Naomi, my wife, runs like over 100 miles a week. And if you're going to run like that, you need to know how to rest and recover. And I can remember being in a seminar once with this really top strength and conditioning coach, and he was doing a Q&A, and one of the people in the group put their hand up and said, right, what's the best things I can do for rest and recovery? And he said, you can ice your legs, you can wear compression clothing, which makes my house quite a weird place to be at times, because I'll like come downstairs and Naomi will be sat down with like ice packs all the way down her legs, or she'll look like she's wearing a weird wetsuit when actually it's really compression clothing that aids your recovery. So there's all these fancy things you can do to make your muscles recover and help you to relax. But this coach said the one thing that's scientifically proven to be better than all of that is sleep. It's that simple. Sleep is the best thing you can do for your rest and recovery. So the example Jesus is setting, I think, is completely sound. In the storms of your life, you must still know that you need to rest up to be ready to deal with them later. And number three, how do you survive extreme danger? Do something about it. Verse 26 tells us, then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. When it was time to deal with the storm, Jesus dealt with the storm. He did not just ignore it. And that's what you must do with the storms in your life. Do not just sit on your problems and hope that they're going to go away. You need to rebuke them. If someone has wronged you, you need to forgive them. If you've wronged someone, you need to reconcile with them. And if there's sin in your life, you need to repent. And if there are problems in your life, you need to take them to Jesus. Do not just sit on your problems. Do something about it. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us, be doers of the word, not hearers only. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. God calls you to push the train, not just jump on it. We are called to action because of our faith. If there's danger in your life, you need to do something about it, just how Jesus did. So we've looked at the brilliant example of Jesus now, but the disciples were in the boat also. And I think they weren't quite as good as Jesus, but I think they set a really good example as well. So let's look at the disciples now. They were scared and they came running to Jesus. If you're scared, if you're in danger in your life, if you have problems, you need to take them to Jesus and listen to Jesus, and then you will be able to deal with them. They were scared. What did they do? They went and woke up Jesus and called Jesus into action in their lives. That's what we must do when we're scared. Next up, Jesus saves you. Marvel at how wonderful he is. When Jesus calmed the storms, the disciples were amazed. They said, who is this that can calm the storms just with their words? Jesus is amazing. They worshipped him. They marveled at him. They knew how amazing it was that Jesus was with them and Jesus was doing these amazing things in their life. Jesus saves you. Praise him, worship him, give him the respect he deserves. So they did a good job there. But I would argue the best thing that they did in this story was get in the boat. You see, Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins. That means that you can have a relationship with Jesus because of that. Now, the way you have access to that is by accepting him as your personal saviour. So if you haven't done that in your life, I'm sad to say you are out on your own. You do not have access to God's help when you will need it. But if you have accepted Jesus in your life, you have forgiveness, a place in heaven, and you have this amazing direct access to God because of it, which means he will help you to survive extreme danger when you will inevitably face it. You want that in your life. So get in the boat.